Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
My name is Dan.
And we are here to review the Game Week 38 action. Obviously, some interesting bits and pieces around this week. And we'll sort of talk about our key takeaways from it. And, you know, sort of normal deal, we'll also answer your questions and that sort of thing. But first things first, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Angus. Flew and played this weekend, Drew. Added more injuries, so I'm looking forward to the international break. I'm sure that'll last for about 3 or 4 days, and then I want to get back into the action. But yeah, not a bad game week for Gaffer Eve. I've got a green arrow, so yeah.
Yeah, not that bad. Mixed game week for me, particularly slightly lower than others, but in general it was a green arrow, so which is always the main thing, really, particularly going into an international break. The main thing is always going to the break on a green arrow. But yeah, so we'll dive right into that, actually. So in terms of my team this week, I got 77 minus 4 at the great moves of bringing in a Huddersfield attacker and a Preston attacker. So I brought in Sorba Thomas and Frokje Jensen for Azaz and Philogene. So I had Pears in goal for 7, Lindsay for 8, Engel for 6, Davis for 7, Sorba Thomas vice-captain for minus 3, Frokje Jensen for 3, Somerville captain for 14, Sara for 12, Rutter for 11, Sargent for 10, Kiefer Moore for 2. No points on my bench. So 77 minus 4, a small green arrow. But, you know, I'm quite happy. On another day, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the Sorba Thomas thing. I thought the second booking was a little bit harsh. I also think, you know, it was like, I think the 58th minute, if it happens 2 minutes later, like, that's an extra point. And particularly for the vice captain, is obviously it was minus 2 became minus 3. If he plays another minute, minus 1 still becomes minus 1. So it's actually 2 extra points. But yeah, so that, and obviously, you know, in hindsight, someone like Sorba Thomas against Rotherham, I'd still do that. I think he'd got about 3 key passes or something as well. He was probably making his way to the bonus until he did that. And Frokje Jensen obviously set up a great chance for Miller, could have had a return, you know, that sort of thing. And I've got him in there now against Rotherham at home for the after the break. So, yeah, it could have been better this week, particularly with the Sorba Thomas thing. But all in all, you know, I'm pretty happy, as I said, to be going into the break on a green arrow. How about your game week?
Yeah, so I got 76. I had 2 free transfers. Like yourself, I brought in Thomas and I brought in Dean Garner. It was a close decision between like a Preston mid, Dean Garner or Johnson, and probably picked the wrong one at the minute, but I'm happy with West Brom mid long term. So Dieng got 6, Furlon 6, Aileen 5, Davis 7, vice captain Thomas as well for minus 3, Dean Garner 3, Somerville 7, Sara 12, Rutter 11. I captain Sargent. I thought Milner would shit house, and I'm not sure that really worked that much. But I did do well going with Sargent, and I had Kiefer Moore for 2. I'm sure we'll get into that game, but yeah, how Davis and Kiefer Moore didn't get a return in a win like that is crazy. But yeah. Small green arrow of 7 places up to 99th. So I did break into the top 100 after all. So that's good for a couple of weeks anyway. And now it's when we come back, it's business end. I've got a couple of boosts, we've
Yeah.
got a few doubles, and yeah, I've got to come up with a plan to hopefully stay in the top 100. But yeah, good game week all in all. Disappointed with the Thomas thing because he was a differential, and then for him to do that as well is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it was one of those where, particularly with the vice captaincy, it thought like, okay, this could be a real gain on people, and it went completely the other way. Yeah, I think it's one of those where it still feels good. There's an element of what could have been, but all it, you know, that sort of positive still. So yes, yeah, so that's how we did this week. Next thing up, we've got the team news from the weekend, which I'm handing back to you, Dan.
Yeah, so it, not too much team news related to fantasy, really. West Brom Fellows and Townsend started. Ipswich Chaplin wasn't in the squad. Broadhead and Hutchinson started. Sheffield Wednesday Fayemwu was benched. Birmingham Dramé and Bakuna started. Preston Miller was benched. Reece missed out altogether. For Borough, Azaz was still on the bench. Jones was back in the lineup. And for Blackburn, Pears was back in goal. And that's it. That's it that week.
Yeah, and of course, just to touch on that, you've got the thing with Azaz where he's benched, and I think within about 20 minutes he's on the
Yeah, he's on the pitch, yeah.
pitch.
So yeah,
Goodness
considering
me.
I sold him.
Yeah.
I was half expecting him to return once I knew
Yeah.
he came on, but. But yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, so obviously we had that. But yeah, so that's obviously some interesting notes before the break, but we will move on to sort of the key talking points. I'm sure a couple of those we'll also cover when we talk about sort of our takes from the games. But yeah, so the first key point I think is yours, Dan. So I'll hand it back to you.
That's me, Angus. I'm the only one doing anything at the minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as I mentioned, we're coming to the business end of the season. I wanted to have a look at ownership to see if we can get like what is differential players at the minute because obviously the site isn't always reliable. So I've done this in each position and. For a start, I think you'll guess most of them. I think they're pretty obvious. But there were some players with quite a bit of percentage ownership. So for this, I've just looked at the top 25. I think we're all trying to get as high as possible to know the ownership of the top teams is probably the most worthwhile. So for goalies, Hideki with 56%. Of the top 25. Dieng with 52%. I've done this a few times over the last couple of years, and this has been the widest variety of goalies we've had. There was a few with 8 or 4%, but you had Hazard on 24%, Begovic 16, Pears 12. You've got players like Ruddy and Johansson on 8%, so there's quite a lot of range in goalkeepers. Is that surprising you, Angus? I thought I had Ledecky early on in the season. I got rid because I wanted three attacking Ipswich, so I'm probably surprised that he's the highest owned.
Yeah, a little bit, although I guess for a lot of people it's sort of been easier to leave him there, is my sort of thought. Particularly, you know, when there were issues with people like Dieng and everything, it probably meant that people left Kladke there.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of like, oh yeah, you don't really want to make a goalkeeper transfer when you don't have to, and all of that. So I think that's probably how he's ended up there for quite a few people as well.
Yeah, and Dieng, I know I've had Dieng for ages. He's just stuck around, and
Yeah.
obviously with him them then having the double, it just made sense, especially when he got his place back in to just keep him. And I think what's it three? Is it three clean sheets in a row? He's done well
Yeah,
the last
yeah,
few.
yeah. So two clean sheets in the double, and then the one this week.
Me personally, I currently have Dieng and Pears. Obviously, Pears come back in, so yeah, I'm pretty happy with those two. Is that the same for you, Angus? Are you on those or?
So I'm on Pears and Hazard. So obviously last game
Oh,
week I
you
had no
got
goalie, but this week, once I knew Pears was going to be back, like I would have made a change, and I might make a change afterwards. But
him.
particularly this game week, once I knew Pears was likely to be back, it became less of a priority.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to defenders, the top five were Davis with 100%, Ayling 60%, Walker Peters with 44%, Giles with 36%, and I was probably a bit surprised with this is Perry NG with 32%. I know he's done very well, but I haven't owned him all season. I know you have owned him at parts during the season, but I think a lot of those percentage are like lower than we normally see. We normally see a few of them a bit higher, so there's definitely like a variety. And obviously with Walker Peters getting injured, I think he would have been pretty much 100% as well. So you have got other players with fairly decent ownerships. You got Ampadu with 16%, Firpo with 16%. You got Engel with 28%. Obviously, with the Borough double, a lot of people either went with Ayling or Engel. You have Tramay with 16%. Again, that's probably to do with the double that's just occurred. Furlong 24%. So I'm a Furlong owner. So it's quite glad to see him only at that percentage. So he is quite a differential, and Laird with 16%. So, any surprises with the top five, Angus, or?
I don't think so, just because I did know that NG's, for example, had crept up steadily. But there's, like you say, I think even someone like Walker Peters, who I think would have been a bit higher, I think there's been quite a bit of selling of him with obviously the injury and having the blank and whatever. So I think his might well pick back up, but otherwise I do think it would have been higher.
Yeah, great. What about Giles? Obviously, excellent last year. He's come on loan from Luton to Hull, and he does what Giles does, gets bonus and assists. So I've got Giles, and with him having a double later on, I see Giles probably staying for the rest of the season, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I sold him in part just for the short term sort of gain and sort of moving things around. He'll definitely come back for me at some point, whether it's immediately or whether I wait remains to be seen. But yeah, certainly been a good pick. Not that we're too surprised about it either. And one of those that's very easy to sort of keep in your team as well.
Do you think with the obviously the doubles that will occur towards the end of the season, you'd probably think like a Pereira, if he comes fit, will be highly owned. Van Eyck from Coventry, maybe the double up on a Southampton. Who else am I missing? Who else is that it?
That's
Hull.
it.
Well, we got the
Oh,
we got a
Preston will
Hull.
double as well.
Preston, you've got Lindsay, haven't you,
Yeah.
Angus? I think no one else has Lindsay, so you're ahead of the game in
Just weirdos like me.
this. But yeah, so I'm not sure how differential it'll be towards the end, especially when
Yeah.
there's obviously still part of the bus people can play. But yeah, I thought that was a bit interesting. I've not looked at NG for a while, so that was a bit surprising. Moving on to midfield, this is where it's the most template. Somerville, 96%. So I don't know what the one person is. Obviously, he's taken the risk to get off. Smodic's 92%. I sold him a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by he's quite that high, to be honest. I know he's been doing well, but
Yeah, I think it's that he just keeps ticking over, and I think that there are probably times when people sort of look at potentially replacing him and then find something else to do, or someone else gets hurt or something like that.
yeah, you then got Dewsbury Hall 80%. I was expecting probably a bit higher, but I think with the blank, I think
Yeah.
people have jumped off and willing to jump back on. Sara 76% and Philogene 56. So I don't overly think there's a surprise. I think there are a few people that 20% still had a Zaz. Johnston had 16%, so obviously they've gone for that. And that's basically it. You have a Carvalho 8%, Miyoshi 8%. But yeah, it's pretty template in midfield. You've obviously gone a bit off template with a couple of your signings, Angus. So did I. I got Dean Garner and obviously Sorba Thomas, who didn't quite work. Was that your plan to just? I know you've obviously planned to target Rotherham. Are you still looking to target Rotherham or?
Well, obviously, that was part of it with Fröker Jensen. I thought he had a run of Plymouth, Rotherham, and Birmingham, and particularly at the moment with things like the blanks and whatever. I thought, okay, I can make some of these short term moves, like where then I'm going to go back to the likes of Philogene, and I've still got Dewsbury Hall, but and someone like a Southampton mid, etc. So like in the meantime, I
Yeah.
can go for these short term moves, which was part of the thinking there. And yeah, I mean, Thomas hasn't really worked. Fröker Jensen on another day returns in the Plymouth game, and then I'm looking at him, Rotherham at home next game, sort of thing.
Yeah.
There is an element of targeting Rotherham, though, I will admit. Been quite clear on that, and
Oh yeah, it's no secret, I
I'll
don't think, for
probably
the last
continue
few
to
months.
do that, because it's just sort of viewing it as one or two spare spots to do something like that. Or to
Yeah.
jump on particular sort of little runs, like with this, with Fröker Jensen, where it's sort of a three game run and that sort of thing, where it's like, potentially going against people. But I'd be surprised if I do anything like, well, I own two Preston players. I was going to say, I'd be surprised if I do anything too out there, but I own two Preston players, so I've already done that.
As again, moving forward, going to look at getting the doublers back, Philogene, Carvalho, probably O'Hare for Coventry, if he's
Casey
get nails
Palmer.
down in the
Casey
spot.
Palmer again in the
Casey
cup
Palmer.
looked very good.
And then obviously trying to pick a Southampton mid
Yeah.
could be like really key when it gets down to that. Mavididi will come back on the table, I'm sure. So moving to the forward position, Rutter 80%, Kiefer Moore 68%, probably a bit higher than I thought he would, considering he's not been in the game a long period of time, and Armstrong 52%. Again, I think Armstrong would have been higher, but with the blank, I think that's dropped a little bit. There was Chaplin had 16%, Sargent 20%, Whittaker still has 32%, Stansfield 12%, and then you've got Lattie Laff 8%, Force 4%. So I think there's probably a few more strikers than I thought there would be, but no real surprise for the top three from me, Angus.
No, I'm slightly surprised that Sargent's is as low as it is, but
I've got Sergeant. I was happy to jump on that.
yeah, and I think, but I'm not surprised sort of the high ownership players. I just thought someone like Sargent would be a bit higher.
Yeah, so I again, it's going to be tricky to move away from these players, especially I haven't got Armstrong, so he's gonna have to come back when they've got their two doubles. Will we ever get a Leicester striker we can rely on? It looked like Vardy's injured again, so
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, it's one of those two things. Vardy has been on a run, and I think if he's fit, he'll probably stay in the team. But we've also said, not that we're wishing injury on players, but if one or two were to get injured, then obviously that gives us a clearer idea of who's going to play. We can jump on that. So it's sort of like if Vardy's injured, then obviously someone like Daka is then on the table and that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Also, I think we've seen commentary go through Haji Wright, Sims scoring goals at the minute. I think trying to pick the right commentary striker is going to be interesting when we get down to the doubles towards the end. But yeah, some of those, not surprised, some of them I am. I'm not sure how much it's going to dictate the moves. But yeah, that's it for the ownership. I think that was will help a few people, especially if you're trying to gain ranks, trying to get 20, top 25, top 100, if you're irons and trying to win it. But yeah, I think that's it for the ownership, Angus. Any questions, or are you going to move on to your topic?
No, I think it's like you say, I think it's interesting in terms of particularly some of those where do you want to take on someone who's sort of, 90 plus percent owned, or do you actually think, actually, I think they're going to do worse and going against them earlier is a chance to gain. That might be actually how it works. But I
Yeah.
think it sort of gives an interesting framework for people. But we talked about them there. So I know previously I did this on midfielders. I actually did it on defenders, and it never made it to the pod. But I just did it for my own interest. But it wasn't as interesting. I've done a bit on forwards, using the last four form on the Gaffer website, and then looking at what the players have done in terms of returns and bonus to try and sort of bring out different sort of trends and. As people might be looking to sort of, that's somewhere where people might be looking to make a move. I thought it's particularly timely to have a look at that. So I don't think anyone would be too surprised to find out that the two players top of the last four form standings are Jorginho, Rutter, and Josh Sargent. Behind them, Ellis Sims, although I'll explain that one in a bit. Connor Chaplin and Haji Wright. And Kiefer Moore, then Jamie Vardy, then Ashley Barnes, Patrick Bamford, Latilath, Emmanuel Dennis, Che Adams, Adam Armstrong, and then you get into the likes of Ugbo, Reece, Al Hammadi. But at this point, you're getting into averaging 4.5 points per game. Whittaker, Force, Bergzorg, And then sort of rounding out in terms of the first page, Ronald at Swansea and Obafemi. So things to note there, obviously you've got the two Coventry guys very high. The third and joint fourth highest scorers. Bamford obviously being quite high in addition to Rutter. That was interesting. Vardy has been going along quite nicely. Don't know that anyone managed to get on him, particularly with the blank upcoming, but
Yeah.
he's had a nice little run. And then some ones that you wouldn't necessarily be thinking of have been doing all right, like Ashley Barnes. Last four across the last four, average of 5.75 points per game. Like if you were getting that from one of your forwards, you'd be pretty happy. Also someone like Emmanuel Dennis, 5.5 points per game. Che Adams actually outscoring Adam Armstrong very slightly. So it's just sort of some interesting things there that you wouldn't necessarily think of. But some of these that are just ticking along quite nicely. In terms of the returns over the last four, top of the bonus is Rutter with 10 bonus across the four games. Which you're not really too surprised with him, but
No.
an average of 2.5 bonus points per game. He's got four assists, across those four games, two of them obviously coming in today's game. Picked up one booking in those four, but he does pick up the odd booking, but he's not someone who tends to get a lot of bookings, which is the key, obviously, for things like the bonus that helps him keep ticking along. Second most for the bonus was Emmanuel Dennis. And this is despite him only scoring one goal in the four games. He's picked up 9 bonus points, including two games where I think he got 4 bonus and 3 bonus, despite no attacking returns. And I think one of the games they might have lost.
Is it because their games have been quite tight?
I wonder.
Think
so. I would assume that, generally speaking, that the low scoring nature at least is going to continue. But I just found it interesting. He's only got one goal, but, you know, he's got that sort of, you know, he's relatively high up, and it's basically all on bonus. So whether you think the returns are going to come along with that or is another matter entirely, but I just thought that was actually quite interesting. Just behind them in terms of the bonus, Kiefer Moore. I think with him, he's scored, like, he's got 2 goals and 8 bonus, and I think he's got 2 blanks and 2 games where he's scored a goal and got 4 bonus. The other one in his last 4, he missed this week's game, is Emil Rees, has 8 bonus in his last 4 games. He's got 2 goals and 1 assist in his last 4. Decent bonus as well for Josh Sargent and Jamie Vardy, who both got 7 bonus each. So a lot of these are the sort of players you would expect, either just because of the shots they're having or the attacking returns. The ones with the most returns, Jorginho Rutter with 4 and Haji Wright with 4, including, I think, twice with Wright off the bench returns.
Just a quick one on, I don't know if you're about to come on to this, the Coventry guys are obviously doing quite well, but you haven't mentioned them in the bonus. Is that an issue?
So there is one that I'm going to come to. So Haji Wright is on 7 bonus. So I missed him. He actually has the same bonus across those games as Sargent and Vardy.
Okay.
So I actually missed him out. Don't know how I managed to miss him out, but he has the same bonus. Ellis Sims, I will come on to. He's an interesting case. But Haji Wright has 4 returns. And like I said, I think a couple of them are off the bench. But he has 1 goal. He scored 2 penalties and has 1 assist. And I think that's part of why his score is slightly lower, is because 2 of his goals have come from penalties, which is obviously fewer points. And then 3 returns for all of Sargent, Sims, Chaplin, Vardy, Rees, and Al-Hamadi. So it's mentioning a lot of players there. Al-Hamadi, I think one game was 2 returns. I think it was actually this weekend's game. He got 2 returns.
Yeah.
But every game for him is off the bench. So, you know, he's got a return in half of his games, but you're banking on returns off the bench with him. So I don't think people are going to go with him. Ellis Sims was one I wanted to come to because he is the 3rd highest scorer. That is all from his hat-trick and 4 bonus against Rotherham. He did nothing in the other 3 games. He has completely boosted his score. Like, he's the, you know, 3rd highest sort of average there. It's entirely off. I think it was 21 points off against Rotherham. So that's where he's not coming into the bonus, which is also notable in terms of the other games he's not done anything. It's entirely based off the Rotherham game. So it might well be that leads you to Haji Wright, whose returns are a little bit more spread. He's returned, I think, twice off the bench. So even if he doesn't start, it's not stopping him returning. I thought Ellis Sims was very good in the Cup game, and I'm not sure, like, almost what to do with that as such.
Did you watch him when they played West Brom, though? He was struggled. Sometimes he looks like he just can't hit a barn door, though, when I watch Sims. And other time he looks really good. So.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with him. Even the game in the Cup, there were a few chances where it's just like, how have you missed that? But then there are other moments of real quality where it's just like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do with this. but he is, so for that reason, he's an interesting one. Latilav outside of game week 37, but also in game week 37, actually. One thing to note with him, five games across the four game weeks, three bookings.
It's Carlton Morris from last year.
it's what, two goals across the five games, two goals, three bookings, six bonus points.
It's going to be interesting.
Adam Armstrong, particularly because he didn't play in the didn't really feature in the double. He had two returns, one of which was a penalty six bonus. A couple of these not featuring much in the bonus. I thought the interesting one was Morgan Whittaker, who obviously we've sort of hinted at hasn't really done much. He's only had one goal and four bonus points in his last four games, and I think that was another one where it all came in one game. I think it was the game against Blackburn where he scored finally scored. I felt like Ronald had done better, but I think maybe it's just been a little bit drier recently, although obviously he had a nice return against Cardiff yesterday. But yes, there's not too many that are getting sort of big returns and but like without bonus. Like you'd maybe say the likes of Ashley Barnes and Patrick Bamford, who across the four games only have five bonus points. That's the sort of thing where you'd be a little bit okay, like I'm not sure about this. But yeah, so hopefully that sort of paints a picture about who's doing well. I think, you know, particularly in terms of bonus and return, obviously you're getting a lot of the same players. But hopefully it sort of helps with a little bit of an explainer and who you might want to be looking at, particularly as, you know, as you said, the template is quite strong with forwards. And whether it's sort of players that you're looking at, like Sargent, who's relatively low owned, at least in the top 25, and maybe that's someone you want to go to, or whether it's looking ahead to who that next person might be that whether that's Vardy, you know, I'm not saying anyone's going to go for Ashley Barnes, or like Emil Rees or whatever, like as in whoever that is, maybe that's something you look for. But hopefully that has it helped on who to sort of. Who to look out for. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask or mention with regards to that?
No, like I said, I was quite intrigued with the Coventry strikers, but yeah, because I think as we get to the doubles, I think they're going to be high on the list. So that's the main question.
Yeah, but I think it also served for me as well with some of these things because I've found last four form kind of useful to get an idea of who's doing well, but to actually drill down into it, where obviously, for example, someone like Ellis Sims has the third highest, but it's literally all from one game. So you know, it's also a lesson to people if you're looking for that sort of thing of where it can come from. But yeah. So we'll just get into anything else we want to cover from this weekend's games. I'm going to start with the Leeds game from today, the Leeds Millwall game. I thought Leeds were good in this game. I thought Millwall had moments. I thought Leeds were good. Somerville owners, you can feel hard done to. I think he was unfortunate not to return today. He's obviously got top bonus. I think he had two shots on target, three successful dribbles, five key passes, like heavily involved. I think Rutter actually had a really good piece of play for the second goal. First goal, he just sort of knocks it on to Nonto, who does all the hard work. It was actually as uninvolved as I've seen Georginio Rutter for a while today's game. And I'm not sure why that is, but I just thought it was interesting that it also showed, you know, he's come away with 11 points from a game he actually wasn't particularly involved in. I did think that was interesting, actually. But yeah, they had a couple of shaky moments at the back. I think there were a couple of times where Millwall did sort of did cause them a little bit of an issue. But again, I thought they played really well. You've got that problem for opposition teams at the moment, of it seems quite often. Nonto is doing something starting the game, and Dan James is coming off the bench and doing something as well. So it's almost just like it shows that relentlessness as well in terms of the squad and the contributions throughout as well. But yeah, I came away just impressed by them again. They are obvious. They obviously do now go into the break top on goal difference, having played a game more than Leicester. Yeah, I don't know what else you or what you sort of wanted to mention from these.
I'm going to mention Swansea Cardiff. I think going in, I think there was a Cardiff had won a few games in a row, and I was expecting Cardiff to maybe edge it, and it just wasn't the case. The Swansea were pressing high. Cardiff couldn't get out. They kept on hoofing it long. Cardiff and Mate wasn't holding the ball up. It was just coming back. And yeah, I was really impressed with Swansea. I'm not sure if we're going to go anywhere gaffer related, but I think you're starting to see the manager's ideas of how they want to play. Luke Williams was renowned at Notts County for being front-footed manager. They scored a lot of goals. So you're starting to see that with that front four of Ronald, Patterson, Plasheka and Cullen, all very mobile, able to press, and it's clear. Like I said, at times Cardiff really struggled to get out. So yeah, I was impressed with Swansea. I think they're probably safe now, and it's more about building the last couple of months, trying Williams to assess the squad and see if they can push on next year. But yeah, I was impressed. Cardiff, bit worried. I know they've scored a lot of goals from set pieces, and I think you could tell that they're relying on that. But yeah, I thought I'd mention that. We haven't mentioned Swansea that much, probably for about 3-4 months, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was I have to mention, because I did find it quite funny, the absolute composure of Cullen's penalty sending the keeper the wrong way, only to roll it wide of the post. Shout out to Harry Darling for trying to get anyone and everyone sent off. There was the incident with Yaku Mate, where I think Yaku Mate is lucky in the world of today, although I think probably the lack of movement of his head probably helps him as well, and the yeah, ridiculous way Harry Darling goes down after basically giving him a forearm in the face as well, or in the sort of head area. But yeah, and then there was one later where he sort of went flying when a Cardiff player went near him. But I'm sure it's all part of the sort of shithousing of a derby game as well. And he basically said as much afterwards, and I did quite enjoy that element. But yeah, I was impressed by Swansea. I wasn't sure what to make, especially having watched Cardiff the week before against Ipswich, and looking forward to seeing them and seeing how well Swansea did was quite surprising as well.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that if you bet both teams to score in the Championship this weekend, you wouldn't have done very well. All the games either finished 0-0 or one team scored the goal. So yeah, both teams to score, punters in the mud.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to mention Ipswich. Now, obviously, you know, we've talked before about Sheffield Wednesday, and I think there won't be many teams that do this to Sheffield Wednesday. Amari Hutchinson, I'd clearly just owned him at the wrong moment. Yeah. 20 points in this game. Broadhead, 13 points. Burgess, 12 points. Al-Hamadi, 13 points. And you spoke about Davis and Moore. There was the literal moment where there was the Davis corner that Kiefer Moore heads onto the bar, yeah, and build up to the Burgess goal. And it was just sort of that, you know, the number of people, particularly those who had Chaplin, who had, it turned out had got an injury in training on the Friday, you know, who would have thought, oh, here I am, like, you know, ready to roll in it. And, you know, it's You needed Hutchinson or Broadhead or Al Hammadi or Caden Jackson or Cam Burgess, like all those players that everyone definitely owns. But you know, it's one of those things where when they get on a roll, they are one of the teams that can put up a scoreline like this as well. I think from some of the stuff I saw, Sheffield Wednesday weren't necessarily like 6-0 bad, but it's just the sort of thing that can happen when a game gets away from you as well.
Ipswich doing well, right up there for the league. They've got a, I think, a few tricky games coming up though, Ipswich. So it was important to win that. They've obviously got Blackburn when they come back. That's on TV, and then they've got that run I was on about last week, where it's Southampton, Norwich, Watford, Borough, Coventry, Hull, before they play Huddersfield, last game of the season. So, yeah. They've done the first part of getting 6 points out of Wednesday and Blackburn, and they'll be looking to beat Blackburn when they come back.
Anything else you wanted to cover? I've just got a couple of points, but anything else that you wanted to cover from the
Not
game?
too much. I'm going to mention Norwich as I did captain Sargent. Another goal for Sargent. Gabriel Sarr also getting the goal as well, so they're ticking along nicely in the playoffs. Got that 3 point gap to Hull now. Obviously Hull would have a game in hand, as do Coventry and Preston, but yeah, they just keep pushing on. Norwich, they do have the experience as well of being in the Championship, and they've got Sargent back fit, and it's starting to work now. So yeah, I'm intrigued. That sixth spot looks up for grabs. I think West Brom probably have enough now to get in the playoffs. But yeah, you've got Norwich, Hull, Coventry, Preston. One of them are going to get in the playoffs, and it's looking like Norwich at the minute.
Yeah, and I think it's re it lo also looks like it's really come together for Borja Saenz. I've been really impressed by him recently. As you know, red card against Middlesbrough aside, which did get rescinded, I think he's sort of done very well for them, particularly to help them cover up the absence of Jonathan Rowe. And so I think that's a real credit to him as well. West Brom, just wanted to mention. You got something, whether it was big bonus or a return, if you had Fellows or Johnston or Jed Wallace. Not if you had
Not if you've got
Diarra.
the income, which is why I had.
But the other thing to mention, it was something that I'd said to you, I think I'd said to a couple of people as well. I can't remember if I said it in the pod, that I was thinking with West Brom with the fullbacks. Since they've gone to this sort of arrangement of personnel. Which has tended to be Fellows on the right, Johnston on the left. It's had a big impact on the fullbacks. I think part of the reason I might not have discussed this as much is Townsend got injured and missed a couple of games. But because of, like, I noticed it a few games ago where with Fellows on the right, Furlong doesn't overlap. He sort of hangs back and almost gives him the space. But because of the way Johnston wants to cut in, Townsend is very aggressively like getting high on the left-hand side, which is where his assist comes from. I think he had two or three other opportunities that he set up. And so I think now if you are looking to buy new, it was something that I was looking at and Townsend got injured, albeit short term. I think at this point, if you're looking to buy new into the West Brom defence, I'd be looking at Connor Townsend.
So I got the wrong one then, have I?
At the moment, quite possibly. I think it was the injury that sort of scuppered the idea. Just as I was about to get him, actually, he got injured and Reach, I think, actually did similar, if I remember rightly, in that role. It's just the problem is he's a midfielder. But I think he was getting up relatively high as well, which is probably why he fit in there rather than someone like Eric Peters, because he is someone who will get forward a bit more. And so I think that's where, I think if anyone's looking to go into the West Brom defence at this point, and it's still worthwhile, I'd be looking at Townsend at this point. There was one other thing, and I've now forgotten it, so it can't have been that important. Oh, yeah. I think this is the first time I've ever seen it. Juninho Bakuna, 10 key passes against Watford.
10. I'm trying to think.
10 key passes.
What did at the start of last season, what did Seri get the first game of the season? That was ridiculous.
I want to say it was about
Is that
seven,
eight?
but
Yeah, my gut said eight. Yeah, but
I don't think
10's
it's ten.
ridiculous. So that must have been corners, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Must
I
have
did
been.
say, sort of watching the highlight show, it did feel like a lot of the highlights from Birmingham Watford involved Bakuna. But yeah, 10 key passes.
A few people owned him in the double and he got benched
Yeah.
in the Bakuna. So yeah. He's a frustrating player though, isn't he?
Yeah. But I do think that he is someone, whether Birmingham stay in the division or go down, I think he is someone where the right club will have interest in him, even if it's just a sort of a complimentary player, where I think he's asked to do quite a lot for Birmingham. But so, someone to just slot into the lineup, I think there could be some interest in him as well. But yeah, so that is that's that. I think we've covered quite a bit. So all we've got left is the questions. We've only got four questions this week. And I'm not going to delve deep into Ian's question, which is he says, don't have a question, just want you to say fuck Sorba Thomas in as many languages as possible. Which, no, not going to do that. Just because you're, sort of up there, still can't get first. No matter how much he tries, he still can't get top spot. So no, I'm not going to. The Bombardier says, hi guys, love these pods. Is it time to move off Big Kiefer? Also, who's your top fl five players for performance enhancement? Thanks. So I think, as I spelled out with Kiefer Moore, the thing is, if you want to go someone to go to someone else and you view him as expendable, I get it. And like I say, with his returns recently, it's been a goal and four bonus or 2 points. And Ipswich are a team where there are lots of players who do things that count towards the bonus. So you've got, that there are a lot, there's lots of attacking, there's lots of shots, that sort of thing. So you end up with a lot of bonus, which is why it tends to be if you don't return, you're probably gonna blank. So I can understand why you're potentially looking elsewhere. I probably wouldn't do it at the very least before Blackburn.
Yeah.
Then you get into debate, but Southampton, Norwich, I can understand getting rid of that at that point, but I probably wouldn't do it before Blackburn.
Think you will be looking to get rid though, because like I said, with the doublers coming on, it's people, anyone who's not doubling is going to be, position will be a threat probably.
And top five players for performance enhancement.
Let me just say, this is mainly bonus, isn't it?
That's double bonus points.
Yeah, so you're obviously it depends when you're playing it, but you've got to look at players like Sara, Rutter, normally Dewsbury Hall, or just like a talismanic player who, even if the teams don't do that much, like for example, when Luton were in the league, James Bree, who was just on corners, would you could lose a game and get top bonus. So yeah, Leif Davis would probably be a good one as well.
Davis and Giles. So when I was looking
Yeah.
into the defender numbers, one that stood out in terms of not necessarily as much as many returns, but a lot bonus was Giles. So he's an obvious one. Rutter and Sara, two that just completely stand out.
Yeah.
Probably Somerville as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, particularly because you're going to have to spread it out throughout your team. Like someone like Giles, also in G. He,
Walker Peters as well.
yeah. So I think there are some options throughout, but yeah, it starts with Rutter, Zara, Davis for me, and then you sort of work from there. Shadabiri has asked, on away days next game week, would you play Philogene or Magree? Magree is away at Southampton. Philogene is home against Stoke.
On away days,
Yeah. I think I'd always go with the away player. Just because he only has to almost accidentally do something, and what Philogene has to do to match it is quite big. So as much as that home
always the
game
away
against
days.
Stoke is tasty, I'd always want to go for the away player. And FPL Shaka Zulu, this is something that I was actually aware of, that he's raised, but it's worth sort of getting into. Hello, lads. Well, first part. So what does Coventry making it to the FA Cup semi-finals mean for their double in 44? So Dan actually asked me this question
I
before
did, yeah.
the podcast. So what it means is their game against Ipswich in 44 will be moved. So they will have a single in 44, the rearranged game, Coventry. Is that the
So the
whole game?
midweek game. I think it is, yeah. It's the mid it'll be a mid
Yeah,
the midweek
but
game.
that's their only game of the game week, and the Ipswich game will move, and it will either move to game week 43 or game week 45. I don't think it's been confirmed which one, but that's what will happen, and Ipswich will then have a blank in 44 and a double in either 43 or 45. So I sense which side that falls on will influence people's plans as well. But yeah, so that's the slight complication there. But it's relatively straightforward. It's just which way they move it, whether they move it back or forward. But then he says,
Surely
also
they.
side note, Angus, my bro, I know you love Perry and G, as do I. I just wanted to clarify that the Singaporean surname is pronounced as Ung, like saying hunk, but dropping the H. So I did actually know this. I went to school with someone with a very similar nickname, not nickname, sorry, surname. And so I did. I was sort of going off the premise that enough people call him this that I assume he has either made a decision to go by it in terms of it's just ease. It's reached a point where either it's easier or he hasn't corrected people for so long that it's become sort of, just the way it's said. I'd actually be really interested to ask him. It's something I've thought for a while about the pronunciation of his name, not just because of how it would be pronounced, but also just did he decide this? Was it decided for him? So if he ha if Perry happens to be listening to the pod, hit me up. Love to have a chat. Also love to get you on the pod. But it is something that would be interesting. But thank you for raising that because it's something that I think we have actually discussed before in terms of his name. I think it was last season we went through a period of how do we pronounce his name?
Bad of all. Whenever I've heard it, it's always been NG, so I've
Yeah.
just
So that's sort of why I've done it, even though I knew it's sort of not necessarily the quote unquote correct way. But I'd be interested to know how that's happened, whether it's deliberate or just, out of politeness or whatever.
it's one of them, I don't know if you saw, and I know it's the Premier League. But because obviously there's so many different nationalities, they released like the Twitter actually released a
Oh, yeah.
pronunciation of all of players. So we probably need them to get promoted to
Yeah,
just to
because
find
I
out
think
maybe.
Palace did that before as well. I want to say it was last season. They did a video of all the squad, and of course, with some of them, it's sort of like you don't need to be told how to
Oh,
pronounce
Ward.
Joel Ward, like that sort of thing. Will Hughes, like, but I think people did find it useful, and even and the one earlier this season you're talking about, I think people did find it useful. I used the example of, I mean, I'm lazy, so I'm often lazy, so I'll say Bruno Fernandes, but of course it is Bruno Fernandes, and things like that. But
yeah,
I think it is quite useful. But yeah, so if anyone wants to sort of, you know, put me in touch with him, I'd love to sort of know about this, just out of interest as much as anything else. It would also just be cool to be able to ask. So that's everything this week. Slight detour at the end, but you know, that's always fun. So obviously we won't have a pod sort of next weekend because there's no game week to review, but we will have a pod at some point over the break with Jamie coming back. This, I am sure he will say as well, will be on the condition that all the questions are non-gaffer related. One of our sort of, we've done them before, the international break Q&As. They've been fun. There's been sort of food questions, TV questions.
What was it one year? One question was it who he would invite to a dinner party?
Yeah, and invite to a dinner party question. Yeah. All sorts. Some of the, a few of them were football related, which we don't mind so much, if it is, you know, but not sort of gaffer related. But we'll sort of clarify when that is going to be, sort of when our sort of calendars mesh. Obviously, it's not sort of time sensitive in terms of ahead of the next game week or whatever. But we'll do that because it is a bit of sort of international break fun, and we've done it in previous years, and we enjoy doing it. But I will request, unlike with the championship pods, sort of the regular game week review pods, it doesn't matter to us if there's only sort of four questions like this week. For something like that, when I put the tweet out, please do ask questions, because it helps us sort of put out a better pod. A Q&A pod is only as good as the Qs. That's sort of my one plea for that. Otherwise, unless there's anything I've forgotten, Dan, it'll just be a case of signing off.
Yeah, I think that's it. Enjoy your 2 weeks break to everyone.
Yeah. Whether you sort of want to watch the international football or use it to completely disengage. Hopefully you enjoy it.
We do a bit of both.
Yeah, we've got a couple of great game weeks when we come back. It's Good Friday and then Easter Monday. And if anyone hasn't looked at the Easter Monday TV slate, give yourself a little treat and look at that, because that looks very good. All that's left for me to say is thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.